In the worldwide Christian tradition, Presbyterians are among the denominations that emphasize the importance of studying the scriptures in order to discern the message that they're trying to communicate. Most Presbyterians would agree that simply accepting a surface understanding of the Bible is insufficient and actually can be misleading. And so, like our Lutheran and Catholic and Episcopal and Methodist and Congregational colleagues, we Presbyterian ministers are trained in how to pursue an in-depth understanding of sacred texts. We do this using a study process that's called biblical criticism. Now, criticism in this case doesn't mean putting down or pointing out flaws. It simply means applying a systematic, critical analysis to the scriptures. And so when we study the scriptures, we seek to understand issues like, what was the original Greek or Hebrew wording of the text, and how have those texts been translated into English, and how have English translations changed over time? We try to understand what was the setting in time and place of the action that's described, and what was the setting of the writer writing some years later, maybe even decades removed from the action. What was the writer's setting, and who was the audience that that writer was writing for? What was their situation? We will analyze what literary styles and techniques the writer used and why. And we try to figure out how were those scriptural words understood by their original audience? How might that original meaning apply today, or is there a different but comparable meaning that applies for our situation? As Presbyterians, not just the clergy, but all of us are students of the Bible. We want to know how those originally intended meanings might apply today, both for us personally and for the Christian faith. But an intellectual, academic approach is not the only way of engaging with Holy Scripture. We can read the scriptures devotionally, seeking to set aside our preconceived notions in order to enter the scripture in a fresh, new way. In line with what we're exploring during Lent, a devotional reading of scripture is yet another way to listen for what the Bible calls that still, small voice. That still, small voice by which God claims our attention, by which God offers us direction. Approaching the scriptures devotionally rather than only intellectually can help us listen with an open mind, an open heart. We may discover that Holy Scripture speaks to us in ways that we didn't expect. One way of reading Scripture spiritually is through an ancient Christian practice called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina. It's a Latin term that means a divine reading. Maybe you've never heard of Lectio Divina, or maybe you've been exposed to it, maybe through some class or at a church retreat. Lectio Divina is a way of developing a closer relationship with God by reflecting prayerfully on God's scriptural words. It does not treat scripture as text to be studied. It treats scripture as a living word. Today, I'm going to lead us in experiencing just a taste of Lectio Divina. I'm going to abbreviate the process. I'm going to do it for two reasons. Number one, most of us don't want to take 15 to 30 minutes right now just for this. And second, frankly, some of you may find that this technique of approaching Scripture is not to your liking. You may not like it because it's a rather laid-back approach and doesn't have a specific agenda to accomplish. Or you may not care for the process of Lectio Divina because it's just not always comfortable sitting around with your thoughts. And for some, Lectio Divina feels unproductive because you can't know in advance what insight God may reveal or how God may choose to inspire you. It's the opposite of, let's jump into this, learn what we're supposed to get from it, and then move on. Part of the benefit of the experience comes from a relaxed, restful immersion in a short passage of Scripture, perhaps just a few verses. Lectio Divina is not something that you want to rush through. So while Lectio Divina can be done by anyone, it's not everybody's cup of tea. That's why this morning I'm going to offer you just a sip. And you can decide later whether this is something you want more of. Let me give you an overview of the entire process, even though we're only going to do a part of it. You would want to prepare by making yourself comfortable, noticing and maybe relaxing any tightness that you might be feeling in your neck or your back or your legs, that sort of thing, relaxing. Some people like to light a candle, sort of like a marker that this is a special set-aside time. We've already done that for you. You might simply sit quietly for a while, breathing to relax and settle. Maybe you say a prayer as simple as, God, may I be here for you. Ordinarily, in Lectio Divina, the chosen spiritual text is read 4 times in total, giving an opportunity to think deeply about it and respond thoughtfully. Each of those 4 steps has a name, but those names aren't important now. So you read the passage the first time just to familiarize yourself with it. You take notice of any words or phrases or images that seem to jump out at you, that seem to catch your attention. You don't need to force things. You just wait patiently and see what, if anything, God brings to your mind. And then after you read the passage a second time, you reflect on those words or phrases or images that seem to jump out at you the first time. And then you reflect on what you believe God might be saying by bringing those words or phrases or images to your attention. Your reflection might include a prayer asking that you might be open to receiving whatever it is God may be trying to reveal to you. After a third reading, you are encouraged to respond. Now, some people do this by jotting down thoughts or impressions in a journal. Others offer a prayerful, silent conversation, sharing back with God what they're perceiving. You simply try to remain open to God's response. The 4th step of Lectio Divina is when you simply rest yourself in the Scripture passage and you contemplate what you've experienced in this deep encounter with the written living Word of the Holy God. And if your mind starts to wander as you rest and contemplate, and it probably will several times, you don't beat yourself up. You're gentle with yourself. You simply quietly, calmly bring yourself back to contemplating that Scripture passage. So, let's stick our toes in the water. We're only going to read the passage twice, not 4 times. And each time, we're only going to have about a minute or so, not 5 or 10 that would normally happen if you're doing Lectio Divina. Now, you can sit with your eyes closed, or you can focus on something like a candle or the cross or the parament hanging here on the front of the pulpit. The scripture passage we're going to use is the one that's printed in the bulletin. It's in a box right below the sermon title. It's not the one that Thomas read. This could be a different one. Now, when Lectio Divina is done in a group like this, some people like the reinforcement of following along as it's being read. But other people simply like to close their eyes and just listen to it being read. It's your choice. So to prepare to engage in Scripture, I would encourage you to slowly, gently draw in an easy, deep breath through your nose, and then let it out. Jesus left that place and went to a synagogue where there was a man who had a paralyzed hand. Some people were there who wanted to accuse Jesus of doing wrong. So they asked him, "Is it against our law to heal on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Which one of you has a sheep, and it falls into a deep hole on the Sabbath? Will you not take hold of it and lift it out? And a human being is worth much more than a sheep. So then our law does allow us to help someone on the Sabbath." And then he said to the man with the paralyzed hand, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it became well again, just like the other one. Jesus left that place and went to a synagogue where there was a man who had a paralyzed hand. Some people were there who wanted to accuse Jesus of doing wrong. So they asked him, "Is it against our law to heal on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "What if one of you has a sheep and it falls into a deep hole on the Sabbath? Will you not take hold of it and lift it out? And a human being is worth much more than a sheep. So then, our law does allow us to help someone on the Sabbath." And then he said to the man with the paralyzed hand, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it became well again, just like the other one.
Amen.
Perhaps this brief sip of Lectio Divina has been an eye-opening, moving experience. Maybe the passage took on more depth than you've ever noticed before. Maybe it spoke to you personally. Or maybe you found this experience painless, but not particularly meaningful. You didn't do it wrong. Sometimes you're just not in the right frame of mind, and you know, for some people, this practice just doesn't fit them personally. It's important to remember that Lectio Divina is not an end in itself. It's not another spiritual practice to tick off of our to-do lists. It can help us hear specifically and individually from God through Scripture, guided by the Holy Spirit. It can deepen our relationship with God. So this Lent, we're experiencing various ways that we might listen for God. The first week we explored creating quiet in our lives. Last week we considered using our breathing to become aware of God's Holy Spirit around us and within us. And now we add to our spiritual toolkit a prayerful approach of reading and contemplating Holy Scripture. As we often affirm, God works through different people in different ways. And Lectio Divina is yet another way that we might perceive and receive guidance and comfort from that still, small voice of God.